red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colours.
Words appear. A Netflix documentary. A bag of yellow powder is emptied. Words appear. I'm BTF Production. An automated factory machine stamps out yellow pills with 199.9 milligrams engraved on them. The factory produces red and green pills too. Inside a prison interview room, an inmate in his 20s reads out comments from a phone.
11th of January 2014 from Son of a Bitch. That's the guy's name. I always order my crystal here too, then I shoot it up. And when the first flashback comes, I cook myself some crack out of the coke and smoke a nice pipe. A++ stuff. Guys, two of my teeth fell out straight away. This stuff really fucks you up. Definitely recommended, you morons. Seems like he was satisfied.
A newspaper's front page features a picture of the inmate. A headline reads, "One ton of drugs in his bedroom." The inmate inspects a warehouse.
I have never before come across a perpetrator like Mr. Schmidt.
A besuited middle-aged man sits at a desk.
Maximilian went down in history as the children's bedroom dealer. This is because he ran his online business out of his childhood bedroom.
Inside the warehouse, the young inmate, Maximilian Schmidt, unlocks a door that leads to a bedroom. Inside, there's a bed, a large computer workstation, a printer, and some shelves.
I haven't been in this room in a long time. It seems so small, but I guess the dimensions are right.
A thoughtful look crosses Max's face.
What does small mean? I mean, I guess it's bigger than a prison cell.
A man in his 60s.
The amount of drugs and the amount of money was astounding. And then for him to be such a young lad.
I can't tell you at the moment how much money he has.
An official addresses the camera. Max locks the door.
Safety. Safety first.
Is he still proud of what he accomplished?
A man in his 40s.
I think that goes without saying.
This is where...
Max eyes the computer.
Yeah, what can I say? This is where I began to develop. Let's put it that way.
A person types shiny flakes into a search engine and places an order on a drugs website. CCTV footage captures Max with a duffel bag stuffing envelopes into a postbox. A SWAT team raids the bedroom. A newspaper's front page shows Max in handcuffs. Crime scene photos document piles of burner phones, credit cards, drugs, and a computer server. On a sunny day, Max drives a speedboat. Video footage of a guard leading a handcuffed Max into a courtroom. Titles appear: Shiny Flakes, The Teenage Drug Lord. Words appear, a replica of a bedroom. The replica building has no ceiling, and from a bird's eye view, Max enters the bedroom, locks the door, and takes a seat at his desk. Through partially open blinds, the computer screen casts an eerie glow on Max's face. A rotund man sits at a desk.
How does a Max become shiny flakes? When does he reach the phase where there's no turning back? I'm not going straight anymore. I'm taking a turn. Why? When? How? What for? I think that's fascinating.
Max uses a computer chat room. Words appear. Stefan Kosterbell, criminal defense attorney.
He lived in the children's room at home with his mother and a partner. That was his environment. Friends, as far as I know, he had none. A girlfriend at this time, he also had none.
In the chat room, Max messages username Dumpig. I have 10 accounts left. Interested? Dumpig replies. How much? Take them all, then we'll talk about the price. I lost over $3,000 last week. In prison, Max sits in an interview room.
I was the annoying guy who always seems a bit awkward. But... also somehow calm. Just this skinny guy who doesn't do any exercise but just sits in front of the computer. During adolescence, when one develops a certain arrogance, there wasn't much competition.
A message from Dumb Pig reads, I have a shop, CC plus SC. Max replies, yo. A bird's eye view of Max's replica bedroom. White lines move across the screen. As the camera pulls back, the white lines expand, producing a technical drawing of Max's flat.
So at the time, I was chatting with someone I know by the alias Dumb Pig.
Dumb Pig's profile picture is a pig with red eyes.
And you talk about a lot of things as the night goes on. It always spills over. You talk about all kinds of bullshit.
Dumb Pig types, I was just on Silk Road, so over the top, know it?
And at some point it came up, hey, Silk Road. What's on there? Etc., etc.
Max follows a web link.
And I think at that moment it was primarily about what they offer in the area of internet fraud.
The website Silk Road sells drugs.
Until I realised that it's actually more about drugs.
Images of pills, powder, and hash appear.
Drugs, 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 drugs. From 100 tabs of LSD here to 2 grams of crystal meth there.
Max opens another website selling drugs.
And so we talked back and forth. And the conclusion we came to was, yeah, the reason there's so many drugs is that the profit margins are so high. And then I thought, yeah, that's true. I crunched the numbers and did some research.
An article reads, underground website lets you buy any drug imaginable.
There was no moment where I thought, oh, how crazy is this? It was more like, whoa, this is crazy, so in a positive sense. It didn't intimidate me. It made me want more.
Max highlights the terms anonymizing network and anonymous money.
The first impulse was, this stuff is out there, but it could be better.
Max messages, it all has to be improved on. Websites, support, pictures, everything. Dumb Pig replies, that's some big talk, no substance. Max writes, wanna bet?
And the guy I was talking to, Dumb Pig, said, oh, it's not that easy, it's dangerous, blah, blah, blah. You can't do it better just like that. And how do you think you can make it better? There's no other platform. Fine, then somebody can make their own platform. How can I ship better than them? How can I have a bigger profit margin than them? How can I get more customers than them? How can I get more satisfied customers than these guys and those?
Max types, coke, hash, and speed should work with people up for wasting money who don't want to buy in the park.
There were a lot of different sellers, and maybe one of them had the best customer support, another one had the best prices, but somebody who provides it all in one, there just wasn't anything like that.
Dumb Pig messages, this is the dumbest idea you've ever had. Kindergarten gangster against a 5 mil business, you don't even know a dealer. Max replies, so I get to know one.
Many of the people selling come from a different background. They come from the street. They have some kind of contacts where they get drugs, and then they would sell them. But they have no technical knowledge about things like, how can I protect myself? How do I make my own shop and present it well?
Max to Dumb Pig. I'm going to look for suppliers. And Dumb Pig replies, okay.
It wasn't necessarily that there was a decision like, okay, I'm going to do this. Rather, it was more like, how could this be done? And then you think it through. And in order to see how to reach the goal, you already start doing parts of it. And then I just gave it a try.
Chat room user Red Bull appears online and Max types, hey, how's it going? We don't know each other. Red Bull replies, true. Max ponders for a moment and then replies with, I want to sell. I need 25 grams of coke and 10 MDMA to test. Can you give me a good price? I'll need it regularly. Red Bull replies, 1,700, Bitcoin only, deliver to pack station. At night, a brightly lit tram snakes through a suburb. An unseen figure approaches a yellow post-pack station. While wearing gloves, the unseen figure holds a card to a sensor, and the door to a small postbox springs open. The figure pulls out a padded envelope from inside the postbox and stuffs it into a backpack. Wearing a hoodie, the unseen figure enters the replica flat in the warehouse. Entering the replica room, Max sits in front of the computer and opens the padded envelope.
When I placed my first order with Red Bull, it was, I think, some stupid amount, like 25 grams of cocaine and something like 10 or 20 grams of MDMA. And that was it. Suddenly I had it there. First I'd look to see, what is this? What does it smell like? What does it look like? It was all very new and unusual. What do I have to do with drugs?
Stefan Costabel, defense attorney.
It surprised everyone because everyone assumes that the kind of people who are active in this area also consume regularly, and that's not Max.
Max types cocaine into a search engine.
First, I had to read up on it. Hey, what does this stuff do? What do people even do with it? When you watch a film, a typical film, everything's always cool, except for heroin. People always say bad things about that. But otherwise, it's always, hey, buddy, it's just a bit of fun.
Max stares at numerous images of coloured pills and bags of powder on his computer.
Funnily enough, I had this cool Xbox, which had a kind of piano black reflective surface, and I thought, if I put this in front of my TV and then put a cool fire on the TV, then it would make a really good reflection on the Xbox.
As flames flicker across the surface of the Xbox, Max pours some cocaine into it and takes a photo.
And it was just a killer photo. In the beginning, a lot of people complimented it and said, hey, that looks so cool and classy. I want to order just because of that.
While wearing latex gloves, Max leans on his desk and looks at the coke in front of him. Aerial footage of a German suburb at dusk. Low-level apartment buildings form three concentric circles around a grassy area.
At the very beginning, of course, I was nervous about it. Like, oh God, maybe it's like in the movies. You do something and boom, the police come. But once you understand the technical side of things, all that goes away and all you're left with are the endless possibilities of what you can do. Like a game.
Max registers a domain name called shinyflakes.com. Welcome to WordPress appears on the screen, and Max clicks on a button that says Customize Your Site. A blank website appears with the caption Hello World. Max deletes Hello World and replaces it with Shiny Flakes Drug Shop with Bitcoin. Making a correction, it now reads Buy Drugs Easily with Bitcoin. Max adds some product images and additional pages.
People often ask me, how is this shop different from other online shops? And I had to answer, it's not at all. It's just the products are different. Payments were made in advance, then the orders were processed and shipped. It's just that instead of shoes, it was drugs.
Pictures of brightly coloured shoes morph into pictures of coloured pills.
For people who weren't familiar with the material, there was even a section for frequently asked questions.
Max adds, how fast can you ship to me, to the FAQ section.
You could read it and find out, how do you ensure everything is kept anonymous?
A customer question on the website reads, is it secure? Max replies, yes, your address info is only recorded for shipping and is then deleted. Max clicks, save changes, and then selects, ship to all countries. Words appear. Patrick Klein, former president of Saxony CID.
It was also interesting that there was a minimum order value, and it was even set up so that customers could give ratings, so to speak, on how satisfied they were with the shop.
That was the fascinating thing, something I had never seen before. It was like Amazon.
I don't understand the comparison with Amazon, because with Amazon you have various merchants. In my case, it was just me.
Max works late into the night. Stepping away from his computer, Max goes to the window and closes the blinds. A status bar reaches 100%. Words appear. WordPress successful. Max messages Dumb Pig. Right, I'm ready.
A lot of people who are good with tech will say, OK, with a bit of thought and effort, I could have maybe done the same thing. But the difference is just, you either do it or you don't.
Max pauses before publishing the website. Images of different computer desktops flood the screen. A website with a black and white colour scheme and pictures of different types of drugs appear on the screen. Chat room posts read, check out this new ClearNet shop, shinyflakes.com. Wicked stuff. I didn't know you could do that online.
My shop was able to run totally normally on the internet because, with the right knowledge, it was simply possible.
Ricardo Schultz, Senior Public Prosecutor.
It's really no different from those people in glass buildings. I mean, they're still doing illegal business. They're just doing it in plain sight.
Yeah, it was pretty bold. Someone was feeling pretty confident.
Other people probably wouldn't have managed it because they would be worried or because they would be afraid or think, I can't do that, it's unthinkable to do something like that. I could harm a lot of people.
A psychiatrist.
He didn't have scruples like this, and that's why he was able to behave in such a cold-blooded manner. I control everything, I'm above everything, I can do this. That's dangerous.
The idea for the whole thing, 10th of December 2013. 2 weeks later, I think it was the first day of Christmas, the shop was up, and then I had a problem. Okay, now I have a shop, and I have a better way of connecting with the customers. And then I forwarded it to Dumb Pig so that he would handle the sales. I wasn't up for doing it. It was too real for me. So I thought, okay, look, you'll get all of this, and then follow my instructions, and everything will be fine.
Taking a half-eaten plate of food with him, Max leaves his bedroom. A single order comes through on the website, which is quickly followed by four more. Chatroom user Dumb Pig goes offline.
I don't remember what his actual online name was, but in any case, I started calling him Dumb Pig at some point.
Why?
Because he's a dumb pig.
Max messages Dumb Pig. Hey, where are you? People are ordering already. Dumb Pig's status reads, last online 4 days ago. Max messages again. Hello?
Yeah, Dumb Pig bailed, and then I thought, this is bullshit. I've worked so hard for the past 30 days, and now it's just over. But actually, I don't want anything to do with the shipping. It's all too close to home for me. I'd rather just do stuff here on my PC and have my peace and quiet. And then I thought, no. Now I've started, and it's not... I can't just stop halfway. So I did it myself.
A vacuum packing machine, an electronic scale, and a sealing tool move along a checkout belt. Entering the replica bedroom, Max unpacks the equipment and sets it up.
Were you worried your family would notice?
No family.
No one noticed.
Max looks at the table.
No.
No. opening a cardboard box, Max inspects bags of pills, powder, and hash.
At the very beginning, in January, February, March, it was all very amateur. There's no instructions online about how to break up MDMA or how to measure out cocaine. So I had to try things out on my own to see what I could do. And I mean even the simplest things. In the beginning, I had a knife, and I just dug around in the MDMA rock, which is actually like a real rock.
The knife buckles, and Max drops it.
It was chaotic.
Max messages Red Bull. MDMA is really hard.
Red Bull was my first supplier. He helped me a lot because he didn't just sell me stuff. He also shared a bit of knowledge with me. He was kind of a mentor, I'd say. I could ask him any kind of dumb question and at some point he'd answer.
Max asks Red Bull, how do I get the MDMA into smaller pieces? Red Bull replies, hammer, chisel, plastic box. Just really pound on it and don't inhale the dust. Max replies, really? Max returns to his bedroom with a plastic box and a hammer and chisel.
What would have happened if someone was standing here?
I was at the hardware shop. Hammer, chisel, stuff you need.
That never happened?
No, they go to work, so... Yeah, of course it was very practical that I could come in just here and then go in there and not have a long way to go.
Didn't you ever make mistakes?
Not generally, no.
Max smiles smugly. A little later, using the tools, Max breaks up the meth rock inside the plastic box. Crime scene photos of a hammer, chisel, and a sieve. Video footage of a handcuffed Max with his face blurred out entering a courtroom. Press cameras flash repeatedly. Words appear. 2019, Leipzig Correctional Facility Open Prison. The open prison consists of uniform white buildings with small barred windows. In Max's cell, there's a dining table, shelf, TV, and a bed. Max sits a minion soft toy in front of a laptop.
This looks so funny. I would always mess with the social workers because they come in at 6 a.m. to check that you're still alive. And I would always put this minion here at the computer. They always look confused. A pro. When the shop was up and running, I never imagined that I'd go to prison, so I really had no idea of what was coming, that it would end like this.
Down a corridor with multiple doors leading off it, fluorescent lights turn on. A door is labelled prison cell.
But now it's been 4.5 years. In 4.5 years, other people go to university, they do other things with the student life, etc. Here, there's nothing. Wake up early, go to bed at night. Very, very, very boring.
A prison guard carries a tray of snacks along a corridor.
My motto has always been stay as far away from everyone as possible. I had a small group that I would see, a few people, but it's not good to get too involved with people in general. I don't know. It's not very social. Very primitive.
Plastic bags, envelopes, printing paper, and various stationery supplies are passed along a checkout. and Max returns to the replica bedroom. Max divides the pills into smaller plastic bags and seals the edges using a heated tool.
In the beginning, it was all pretty relaxed. You had your one order, then five, then 10 orders a day. The security precautions are relatively simple. You don't meet with anyone. And other than that, you just have to make sure you don't get caught when you're doing the shipping.
While wearing gloves, Max places multiple padded envelopes into a yellow postbox.
Sometimes someone would come and want to post something, so then I'd stand to the side for a moment and say, "You can go in front of me, I've got so many." No one really cares.
Max uses another postbox.
At that time, sending drugs by post wasn't really heard of.
That's the amazing thing, that it's possible to use official shipping methods to build a flourishing drug trade. First, you have to come up with the idea, then implement it.
Yeah, the German Postal Service and DHL did a very good job. People went nuts because they would order at 3 p.m. and the next morning it was there at 8. And it's you they thank, but it's because the post was so fast and good. In effect, the postmen were my couriers. In January 2014, so in the first month, I had maybe 10, 15,000 euros in sales, which is a lot. But it grew so much with time. No one could have expected it.
Right from the beginning, it just took off.
Time-lapse footage of Max receiving orders and repackaging pills in his room.
It kept on growing so much that in summer 2014, I think there were 40 or 50 orders a day. A lot of people found the shop through Google searches. You can see clearly what people are searching for, and one was buy cocaine. Boom, then they're on your website.
Images of pills and coke on the website.
I had everything. Aside from drugs, I also had various prescription medication on offer. Alprazolam, bromazepam, clonazepam, diazepam, nitrazepam, fentanyl, midazolam, tramadol, zolpidem. A lot of prescription drugs.
A client clicks add to cart buttons repeatedly. Max checks an order of 13 items for 62 euros. Max logs into a Bitcoin wallet. Varying amounts of money are deposited, from 21 euros to 620 euros.
For every normal adult, it's all about the money. And also, as is the case with all of my drug dealers, it's all about living in the fast lane, whether it's buying handmade shoes or tailored suits. It's just all really about living it up. Max didn't do that at all. All that money, he didn't spend any of it.
The most fun part was just watching it grow.
An aeroplane flies over a DHL logistics centre. Packages pass along a conveyor belt and a van drives off.
Big cities, small towns, the tiniest Bavarian village.
Order reference numbers appear on the screen as DHL delivery vans leave the depot and deliver to different cities.
And also Indonesia, China, Australia. Orders were coming from all over the world. When you've got an online drug business, you have a much bigger reach than you would if you're just standing out in a park. You can operate worldwide even though you're just in one spot. The strangest thing was one time when an order came from Colombia, where I thought they definitely have enough drugs.
Orders stream in. At night, an aeroplane takes off. Night in his replica room, Max writes fake customer reviews. Comments include, "The bomb, it doesn't get any better. This powder tops all else. No better speed than Chinese. World class. Very nice. Super fast, well packaged, top quality. Only shiny from now on. 10 out of 10 products. Legit, super fast and super safe." Max reads some genuine client reviews. Ordered on June 7th, still processing. This scammer writes the good reviews himself. Get rid of the minimum order value, 70 euros. Furrowing his brow, Max deletes the negative comments and approves the 5-star reviews.
In order to keep track of all the orders, at first I made a list in Excel, very simple, because I had to try and work out how to organize it all.
Copying an encrypted shipping link, Max de-encrypts it and pastes the actual delivery address into an Excel spreadsheet. Senior public prosecutor, Ricardo Schultz.
He did things that didn't quite match up with what he had previously promised his customers online.
Max enters customers' personal details into an Excel document, including their full name, what drugs they ordered, and their delivery and email addresses.
You said in your FAQ that you don't save the customers' names.
Yeah. that's another thing, yeah. At some point, I started using the spreadsheet, and of course, I could have just selected the top row and said, now we can delete January through August. Don't need it. But I just didn't do it.
Max scrolls through the thousands of orders on the spreadsheet. Patrick Klein.
Maximilian felt safe. The way he behaved showed that. And it went well for a long time.
Opaque glass room dividers mark out an office area in a larger studio space. A police jacket rests on the back of a chair. Maps on display boards line the wall, and pictures are stuck on the room dividers. A copier prints out a witness statement.
June 26th, 2014. I'm renting a flat in Leipzig. Today, I left my flat at 8:15 a.m. At around 12:50 p.m., I came back home and found two A5 envelopes had been left in my letterbox. Both had Leipzig repository as the return address. Since I didn't know of a Leipzig repository in the building, I took them both up to my flat. Then I called my neighbour and asked if he had ordered anything on eBay, and he said he hadn't. He took a look at the two envelopes and said, let's open them up and have a look. When the envelopes were open, we could see several grey plastic bags inside. At that point, I immediately notified the police.
My colleagues found 100 grams of amphetamines, a large amount of cocaine, and some ecstasy pills.
When it's one or two, you don't think much of it. But there were similar findings all over the country.
Crime scene photos of different envelopes.
Then it was established that the senders didn't exist. The addresses were all made up.
Fake company names such as Renate's Organic Seed & Co. and Screw Pros are printed on the envelopes. Not registered with the Trade Licensing Office is highlighted on a police report.
Most of them had one thing in common. They were all sent via the mail dispatch centre in Radefeld. That was more or less the first sign. Could have something to do with Leipzig.
Shipments often get sent back, you can't avoid that. Then, of course, the police can find out where it was sent from, but it doesn't lead to me.
Patrick Klein.
Yes, that's correct. But there were other factors. Who had paid for the postage?
In the investigation office, pages of email addresses are printed out.
But we didn't get any further with that, because Mr. Schmidt made sure to cover his tracks.
Being relatively well-versed and connected within the world of cybercrime proved to be an advantage. You need the package pickup stations to be able to receive anything. You need a postage account to buy stamps. You need bank accounts to convert the Bitcoin into cash. How can I conceal my identity? How can I avoid getting caught? On the street, someone could see you anytime, but on the internet, it's more about don't leave any traces, and if you do, in what form?
Is there a whole group behind this? Are there suppliers who procure the drugs? Are there employees whose job it is to send the packages, and so on and so forth?
Their investigations had no direction.
I think the fact that he's analyzing our investigations is a bit outrageous, because in the end it didn't do him any good.
It's night, and a dazzling headlight moves into the warehouse. Max naps on the deck of a speedboat as it floats in the ocean. Scrolling through the Excel database, there are now over 8,500 orders. Fuchsia and green powders are poured into pill-punching machines. A post box opens. In Max's replica room, he empties a shelf and neatly stores clear plastic containers with violet and yellow pills inside. Meanwhile, orders continue to come in, the largest being 8,367 euros. Stock updates on the website change from out of stock to in stock. The copier prints crime scene photos of envelopes and silver packages.
One thing Maximilian had fun with is that he would always put a little packet of gummy bears in the envelope.
Of course, people liked it. One person said, great, first gummy bears, then drugs. Another person said, I just sell the drugs and then I've still got the gummy bears. Basically, it was just an idea to add another positive feature to the customer service. It's so simple, but people talked about it.
Max scrolls through reviews. Max cuts pages of LSD stamps into strips. Evidence photos of stamps and cocaine.
At first, you could order anything. Then someone ordered 17 grams of MDMA, which is, of course, totally stupid if you have to package it all. 17, you can't even prepare that much unless maybe you take 10, 5, and 2. You've already got those prepared because you pre-measure things that sell frequently. I had to measure out 1 gram, 1 gram, 1 gram, and not 1 gram here and 15 grams there. If you measure out that many in a row, you start to develop a feel for it. Later in prison, I was working in the kitchen, and one time I had to add 300 milliliters of cherry compote to the semolina, and that was pretty easy for me.
Max receives orders of 23,459 and 35,500 euros. Max breaks up a brown block of hash. Ricardo Schultz, senior public prosecutor.
For the duration of this year, or a little over a year, this person lived only to commit multiple crimes per day. That means he got up every morning and said, I'm going to continue committing this crime. And not just by selling one pill today or 10 grams of marijuana tomorrow, but instead, I'm going to do it on a large scale and make money.
In the replica bedroom, Max stares out of the window. In prison, Max sits in an interview room.
Didn't you ever feel guilty about it?
In what sense?
Did you worry that you might be harming people?
I didn't necessarily feel guilty about whether it might be harming anyone. Because for me, the logical reasoning was if they don't get it from me, then they'll get it from someone else.
In In the replica room, Max eats some cereal. Moving away from the window, Max checks his computer. Rolf Jakob.
Yes. In his case, there is direct harm. If I hit someone, I see their injured face or their bruised eye, for example. But with this case, the harm is anonymous. And perhaps it's for that reason that the thought process is different here.
In the replica bedroom, Max repackages some drugs. He picks up a small blue pill and inspects it. In a website editor, Max lists a new product called Chupa Chups 100 milligrams, exclusive to Shiny Flakes. He prices the product at €4 and then presses publish.
My low prices were the result of the fact that I purchased extremely large quantities from my suppliers. And over time, I found the best suppliers out there.
Username Dutch Master messages Max, "How is business? Any feedback on the Shiny Flakes exclusives?" Max replies, "Green Chupa Chups are as great as usual. Red ones arrive today."
I was in contact with, for example, Dutch Masters. Whenever they brought out a new pill, they would make maybe 1 to 2 million of them, and I would order 100, 150,000 straight away.
Is it even possible for such a young person, 19 at the time and then later 20, to run something like this on their own? We had serious doubts right up until the end, simply because of all the effort that was required and because of all the logistics, which were enormous.
On a burner phone, Max sends multiple texts to the same number. Where are you? What is taking you so long? Information? A reply reads, "I'm there in 15 minutes. A photo of multiple burner phones. Max carries some boxes upstairs.
The courier couldn't have had any idea that he was delivering right to my house. I said to him, "Hey, send your guy there. Then they'll meet." Of course, I always talked in the third person. I couldn't say, "I'll come and meet you." Yeah, that would sound very unprofessional. And then if 200 kilos came at once, which happened one time, then you just had to walk up to the fourth floor a few times. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lift.
Max carries the cardboard boxes into the replica apartment.
No, I didn't worry that someone would steal it. I mean, even if someone did, they wouldn't say, "Hey, officer, I found some drugs." At least I don't think so.
A washing basket sits outside Max's room.
He led his own life in the flat. And the mother knew nothing about her son. She didn't know what time he got up. She knew that he cooked. The only thing she did for him was the laundry, which, however, he would fold in the laundry basket himself and then take it to his room. And it is true that the mother actually did not go into her son's room for over a year. The investigation showed that the son, independently from his millions in revenue, would actually return the family's recyclables as part of the national recycling scheme, and they had agreed that he could then keep the money he got from that scheme as a kind of supplement to his pocket money.
Forensic psychiatrist Dr. Hans Christoph Hieronymus.
Mr. Schmidt was not very willing to talk about his family or close relatives. Perhaps it's because he wants to be seen as an individual rather than as part of a family unit or as part of a community of sorts, because then that community would also have to deal with these uncomfortable questions. How did you end up like this? And I think that he is actually ashamed of it.
The camera pulls back to reveal the white apartment buildings, which form concentric circles around a grassy area.
It's one of the peculiarities of this case that someone who wasn't technically a criminal, not only technically, but not at all a criminal, this person, with the help of the internet, is capable, in a very short time, of committing crimes on this scale.
If you sit down with a psychologist, they'll ask this exact question. When was the moment you said to yourself, hey, being a criminal is okay? But this question, at least for me, as a 14, 15, 16-year-old, didn't enter my mind. It's not as if you're thinking, hey, I'm going to go rob a bank now. It's more something you feel your way into.
In his replica bedroom, Max visits a website called crimenetwork.biz.
When you first visit a website like this that's about hacking and internet fraud, it's definitely different to what people imagine.
Max clicks on a forum entitled Web Hacking, Web Security, Coding, Malware Exploits.
My first experience on these boards was simply being among like-minded people. At that time, I was just a boy who wanted to cause a bit of trouble.
Max clicks on a questions and answers tab and asks, how do I steal passwords? A user writes, check out this tool, and sends a link.
You feel yourself get pulled into the situation as if you were in another world. Planting keyloggers or Trojans on people were the first steps, and it would be like, ah, I did it, and now, I don't know, I can watch through their webcam or something like that. That's just a stupid example. Usually you'd get your hands on some kind of login data, and then you could have fun by logging in and deleting the person's profile or something like that, just trolling around, or, I don't know, you get into their eBay account, post something just for fun. When you're 14, 15, you do things like that, maybe. I mean, there are people like that. Maybe I was one of them. It was really pretty pointless, but you just did it. I mean, the goal wasn't to empty out someone's bank account straight away. You would maybe start doing something like that later on, when your interests changed and you realized, hey, I can make money with this.
At a restaurant, a man and a woman sit at a table.
This is his application, CV. Yeah, his cover letter. Hardworking, punctual, conscientious.
Entering the restaurant, Max puts on a pair of formal black shoes.
I finished school and thought, I have to do something now. And then I started working as a waiter, because I knew that was a job you could get straight away.
Max puts on an apron and serves the table.
I kind of had fun being a waiter because on the one hand you're close to people and people always said to me, hey, that's not your thing. And on the other hand it was so distanced because it was this standard service procedure. Okay, there's a guest coming in. Hello, be friendly, blah, blah, blah. Show them to their seats, then you do this and that. It's actually a very simple job.
He only accepted other people's authority when he was certain that they knew more than him and that they could do more than him. Otherwise, he didn't accept any authority.
The restaurant owner, Mauro Bartolini, shakes his head. Some chefs prep food.
All the routine tasks that everyone had to do at a relaxed tempo were boring for him. It wasn't his thing. He always wanted to be moving quickly. He wanted to get things done, to be the first, to be meticulous. For that reason, he was annoyed by the colleagues who weren't perfect. He would say, it has to be perfect for everyone, for the whole team.
He couldn't stand anything being off. If anyone did something different to how Max thought it should be, I wouldn't have to do anything because Max sorted it out. He'd say, fix it, do it better. Yeah.
That's classic overconfidence.
Wearing a white shirt, Max returns to the replica room. He sits in front of the computer for a moment before unplugging a cable and connects it to another hard drive.
We said, what do you do in the evenings? Don't you go out? Don't you go clubbing? What do you do at home? And he said, I sit at my laptop and I do stuff. Yeah, but of course, he didn't say what it was that he was doing.
Max logs into the Crime Network website with the username Aparty.
My profile picture on Crime Network was Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator. He's cool. I mean, the way he looks. As for what he does in North Korea, no idea. On Crime Network, there are various levels. There are the newly registered users, and the first and second levels, and you have the moderators, the administrators who run the board, and then there's also an elite level. I was practically a category unto myself.
A tab labelled Max appears on the website in between elite and second level.
How did you achieve that status?
It's hard to say, because it involves these backstories. And for me, what happened or what didn't happen before isn't relevant. This is about drugs, and that's where it will stay.
Max scrolls through headings that read Library of the Basics, Instructions on Getting Started, and Earn Money with Stolen Loans.
It was a refuge for him. He was somebody important on there. He meant something. People talked about him on there. He was seen as a big deal. He was flattered by all that. He liked all that. This was his world, where he got the recognition that seemed to be missing elsewhere.
Would you have liked to keep him on?
Yes.
Of course.
The restaurant owners, Mauro and Sylvia, nod their heads.
I did it for about a year and a half, and then it happened that we were assigned tasks by the boss herself. And I was already in a bad mood that day, and she came up to me and said, Mr. Schmidt, if you don't want to work, you can go home. So, okay, then I'll go. And I left. Because at that moment, I didn't exactly need the money. And since I was so young, it happened very quickly. The thing that brings us here today.
Max will open his own wonderful restaurant one day. Or a nice chic bar. Max was, at least it seemed that way when he was here, he was born to be a boss.
That should be his goal, we thought.
He did get his own shop.
Yeah.
Flicker of a smile crosses Mauro's face. Photos of crystal meth, LSD stamps with a picture of a man on them, and some pills with the words Chupa Chups, 100, Heineken, and gold embossed on them. At the police investigation office, a copier prints out some crime scene photos.
We took various approaches with the investigation.
Images of some padded envelopes appear on the screen.
In Baden-Württemberg, a similar package was found in Baden-Württemberg. And the investigations carried out by our colleagues there indicated that the recipient of this package browsed a particular site very frequently.
An officer copies a website link, www.shinyflakes.cc, in a witness statement and checks out the website.
And so then we became aware of the site's existence, and we were shocked. Here was someone brazenly dealing narcotics on the freely accessible internet. We went through every single page on the website, front to back. We weren't really expecting it to, but it's typical for online stores. Actually, it's required by law. It had a company information page.
Shiny Flake's company information footer reads, Time to Party. A report reads, Company information or similar notices have not been found yet.
Where is this shop registered? Where's the domain registered for the shop? Always with the goal of finding a loose thread. We've found out where the server was.
A label, Saxony BCI Germany, appears over Max's room and connects to a server.
The whole thing was connected upstream with an encryption mechanism that's based in the USA.
The operator Cloudflare was mostly there so that if the website is attacked by competitors or other people, the website stays online. It just shows how incompetent they are when they claim it was used for concealment, while actually it was for a technical reason.
Red Line connects Cloudflare to Max's room on a map.
We asked them about it. They stated that they would inform the person in question about the police's activities. Of course, we didn't want that.
The phrase, investigations into this are futile, is highlighted in a report.
The investigation authorities weren't getting anywhere. And then a letter came out from California asking, who are you? Leipzig Public Prosecutor's Office. We really don't care.
Policeman or not, hacker or whatever, if you didn't like it, there was nothing you could do. The website was running.
Well, I admit, I had to laugh, because it's a really impressive feat. It's not just anyone could pull this off.
Well, you feel really powerless, and you have to realize that there is no equality of arms between the perpetrators and law enforcement. The reason for this is simply because we don't have many legal options available to us, and the perpetrators have better options available. And yet we still always had leads that we could continue working on.
In a police investigation office, three computer screens play CCTV footage. One screen shows a man making a collection at a post point, while the other screen shows a man mounting a motorbike opposite the post point and riding off. A bird's eye view of Max as he turns on his bedroom light. Packages and parcels litter the floor.
Around the end of December 2014, I got in a little over my head.
While preparing orders, multiple burner phones buzz and vibrate at the same time as Max counts out some pills, but makes a mistake.
Small details and server problems, mail traffic problems, the device for sealing the aluminium bags would break, lost packages that you would worry about. All of that messes with the rhythm of your process, and slowly but surely, a backlog built up.
Max lowers his eyes and licks his lips.
And so that led to me making these gigantic portions of spaghetti bolognese, eating at 6 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon. When you no longer have a steady daily rhythm and you're just packing cocaine from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m., it's neither healthy nor effective.
An exhausted Max sits on his bed staring at the computer.
He said that sometimes, and this also appeared in his statements, that he only slept 3 or 4 hours so he could catch up with his packaging. Whether or not at this point he still thought that it was a game, I couldn't say.
Max returns to his computer desk and continues working. The floor is covered with boxes of pills, and there's a plate of half-eaten spaghetti bolognese to his right. Max receives emails with subject headings such as, "Where is my shit?" "Where's my order?" "Third complaint?" and "I'm waiting." Max types an auto-response. Option A, "You are waiting for 7 days on your order. Stop contacting me. It's been taken care of." Option B, "You are waiting for more than 14 days on your order. Stop contacting me. It is being taken care of." Max steps on a pile of bags surrounded by unfinished orders.
In the end, I had maybe 15,150 orders per day, and at the height of everything, I was making 100,000 euros in sales per day. Who knows where that could have led? But in the end, I was just one person.
From a bird's eye view, Max continues to pack orders. Turning to his right, Max knocks a stack of boxes and a dinner plate.
Thank you.
Slowly, Max gets up and tidies the mess.
It was just too much to manage.
Picking up a bin, Max disposes of the broken dinner plate.
And I didn't question whether it made sense. There were no doubts or anything. There was no room for that. I really didn't think about it at that time, only once I was in prison. Yeah, it was like being on some sort of hamster wheel. It just keeps going, no matter how fast you run or how slowly.
Max picks up some boxes from the post collection point and hands them to a bespectacled taxi driver. The driver puts the parcels into the boot and Max gets into the taxi. Passing a row of bustling restaurants and bars, the taxi drives through a city centre. Reads 29.50 euros and passes another post collection point where blonde-haired Max stands by the touchscreen. At the police investigation office, CCTV captures this moment on camera.
Because I was constantly shipping from different locations, it's just impossible to trace that, even if you trace the postmark. Okay, it was dropped in such and such postbox, but with 50 or 100 postboxes you have in a big city like Leipzig, you can go to a different one every day. What are the police supposed to do? Monitor every postbox?
Black and white observation photos. Annotations on the images point to an identified male person, UMP, and UMP collecting a package from package compartment, and UMP removing a further package from package compartment.
We were able to trace it. It's certainly true that he was very careful with how he went about it. But he also didn't know that he was under observation. That's the point of observation.
Petrick smiles wryly. Another observation photo shows Max's face. An annotation reads, UMP holding removed package in hands.
As part of his psychological evaluation, I asked him why he got caught. And his answer was, it wasn't because of me, it was because someone else did a bad job, someone he was associated with. Here again, we see this attitude of, I can only rely on myself. But he did, in fact, have a couple of contacts, and that's where he tripped up.
In the chat room, Akia messages Max. They arrested Red Bull and his people. I assume they had been watching him for a long time. Max asks, who were the other people? Was the guy who drove across Germany for us one of them? Akiha replies, the cops kept him in custody for one day and then let him go. I don't get that. Max comments, maybe as bait. Akiha responds with, maybe the cops will lay off now because they think they have the main suspect in custody. Maybe not though, better safe than sorry.
I don't know what mistakes Red Bull made that got the police on his tail, but I do know that they found me as a result of those mistakes. In the files, it said that they followed him to where he dropped off the post, and they saw a lot of large, suspicious packages there that were being sent to Leipzig. Then they followed those, because it was unusual, and that's how they then got to the package station that I would often use.
There were undercover investigations, there were observations, there was telephone surveillance, the whole shebang.
Multiple photos of Max with a large duffel bag posting packages at a post station. At the police investigation office, a copier prints a floor plan of Max's apartment, with his room highlighted in yellow.
On the 26th of February 2015, I woke up relatively late, I'd say around 10, because I had to work into the night. And I think around 11 or 12 was when the courier came.
A series of blurry black and white photos of Max taking some boxes out of a car boot and carrying them into an apartment building.
Right up until the end, we assumed that it must be several people. One person handling all of that on their own seemed to us relatively impossible.
It's assumed that criminal groups like this usually tend to be armed.
From a bird's eye view, Max continues to process orders as an armed SWAT team gathers outside the front door of Max's flat. Max focuses on packing pills into little plastic bags. An officer crouches beside the door and drills through the lock.
I think at around 2 p.m. I heard drilling. And I asked myself, who's drilling here? It sounded pretty close. Oh well.
Max's room is directly opposite the front door. The police break in and Max surrenders.
It wasn't fear I felt, more just a feeling of disbelief that it was happening.
An officer handcuffs Max.
How can this be? How did they find me? Why should they be here for me?
An officer straddles Max, who's lying face down on the floor. Three other officers inspect the room and begin to rifle through numerous cardboard boxes and packages.
But it became clear pretty quickly that they were here for me.
And cut! Thank you, cut!
The officer removes Max's handcuffs and Max gets up.
That was great.
Yeah, I thought so too, actually.
I'm glad it went smoothly, but it was super unsettling because it all feels so real in here. You wait and you know what's coming, and it's a bad memory. Yeah.
I think that's a great statement. A bad memory.
Yeah.
That's good.
But now I can laugh about it. Great.
Max gives a goofy double thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't know. On the one hand, it's unpleasant, but on the other hand, it's also like, yeah, like confrontation therapy, I'd say. Every time I hear the word police shouted, it's a bit less stressful.
Max wipes his brow. In prison.
Masked men with machine guns in my room. They smacked the machine gun across my face. They threw me to the floor and handcuffed me. Then they walked over me several times. Probably because there was so little room, but also probably because they enjoyed doing it. So yeah, and I just laid there for what felt like an hour.
That's how he sees it. That's probably how he justifies it. Some of it would have actually happened that way. But it would be unusual for him to be able to remember it blow by blow. An arrest doesn't just go something like, lie down and please be quiet and place your hands on your back. It's much more hands-on.
Max's attorney, Stefan, shows photos of a young Max with multiple bruises around his eye and temple. An investigation team wearing forensic suits photograph Max's bedroom. The front door has a circular indentation in it. A montage of crime scene photos depicts logged boxes of pills and machinery.
The dealer, a young man just turned 20, sold these drugs over the internet.
As well as marijuana, LSD and hashish, also prescription medication.
A CSI agent grabs an Xbox, a photo of the logged Xbox.
Drug dealing 2.0. This is something unparalleled in Germany.
One of the largest drug busts ever to occur in Germany.
A CSI agent discovers multiple burner phones. A photo of Max's room depicts where catalogued points of evidence were found.
At the time, our colleagues reported back to us, yeah, there's a large quantity of narcotics in the room. And we, of course, asked, what does a large quantity mean? First, it was 10, 20 kilos. Then 100 kilos.
The team finds the pill cupboard and additional boxes of pills.
And then, 15 minutes later, when our colleagues requested a van, we knew that more than 100 kilos had been seized from the van.
Orders worth around 4 million. A ton. We're talking about a ton.
I think that more than one champagne cork popped in Leipzig that day.
Video footage of a press conference. Ricardo poses with an officer and a younger Patrick beside a table full of seized drugs.
We were proud that our investigation had been a success.
I was still at home and a police officer came into the room, stood in the doorframe and just said, 10 years, and then he walked out. That was my first indication of where things were going.
Video footage of a handcuffed Max entering a courtroom. Max's face is pixelated. A wave of camera flashes goes off as reporters photograph Max sitting beside a lawyer. A judge addresses the court.
The judges have made their decision. What's the verdict?
He's sentenced to 7 years of juvenile detention and is required to pay the state 3 million euros for the proceeds from his drug deals.
Max S., the so-called children's bedroom dealer, will spend 7 years in juvenile prison. That's the verdict from the Leipzig Regional Court. The judge called it serious criminality. He made a full confession, which favoured the 20-year-old. Experts attested to his emotional immaturity, which is why he's been sentenced as a minor.
When there is doubt about someone's moral maturity, and in my view this was the case with him, then it's appropriate to refrain from sentencing as an adult.
Still in handcuffs, Max sits in the back of a prisoner transit vehicle. Driving through a car park, the vehicle passes the prison's outer walls and towards a large white gate, which opens automatically. Inside the prison, a guard unlocks a cell. Max enters the cell, which contains a bed and a desk. Max carries his belongings in a red washing basket, and the guard locks the cell.
First, I was extremely impressed when I saw the prison. Then I was overcome with a calm and relaxing feeling, and I was able to switch off for the first time after months of non-stop working. I don't know where the feeling came from, but it was good.
Dr. Hans.
He has not shown any remorse or guilt. He seemed to me to be very calm and also very in control of himself and unperturbed, quite emotionally detached, and I could also see a bit of pride in his eyes.
When the news came on RTL or whatever, about something with 300 kilograms of drugs and a Maximilian, who was now in custody in Leipzig, the whole prison went mad, and everyone started banging on the bars like, hey, he's here, who is it? But they all kind of celebrated it.
Social media posts used the hashtag #FreeShinyFlakes.
For him, it was about fame. For him, it was about glory and honour.
Newspaper reports and online comments read, Commando aims to break dealer out of jail. Free Shiny, Commando, wanted to free Maximilian S. from prison. Ridiculous sending him to jail for so long. One ton of drugs in his room at his parents' house. The drug baron's customers are shaking in their boots. Police evidence room contains the Seagate hard drive, multiple burner phones, and a black duffel bag.
That was one of the aims of the search, not just to secure the drugs or find the cash, but also to find clues for how we could get into the computer.
A dismantled computer hard drive.
And the perpetrator, or Mr. Schmidt, tried to do everything possible to prevent anyone from accessing the data. It took an exceptional performance from the IT forensics team at the Criminal Investigation Department to manage it.
And how did they do it?
Max's computer is password protected. A piece of paper in an evidence bag.
Well, it's an exceptional performance from the IT forensics team to go through my stuff and find something where I'd written down a password. As if that's an exceptional performance. Hurrah. It was just dumb luck.
Well, yeah. Under a pile of rubbish, you could say. It was a small piece of paper that, thank God, the investigators noticed. And it ended up having the indecipherable password written on it. It was very, very long.
A policeman enters the complicated password into Max's computer.
I didn't answer the question in the press conference, that's correct. The reason was simply that I didn't want to lead other perpetrators to believe that we had run out of options and that we were helpless. Of course, things like this involve carelessness, the human factor and human errors.
The computer unlocks.
The shop was effectively online from late December 2013 until the end of February 2015.
A photo and the caption, "Suspiciously good jobs, Saxony Police," appears on Shiny Flakes.
From then on, the police had access to the website and they used it to promote themselves. I don't know if that's actually legal. Maybe I should make a complaint about that.
Comments on the dark net flood the screen. Dude, what an idiot. No one knows if there's even a database. I can hardly imagine it. How can you order drugs with your real-life address? I ordered there, but didn't pay. I'm in Bavaria and am scared. What can happen to me? An officer opens an Excel document labelled Orders.
The order list they found contained about 13, 14,000 data sets. That means 13, 14,000 shipments.
Max scoffs.
It was, of course, a great stroke of luck for the investigators. There was concrete data. It was possible to see addresses, to see names. It was also possible to see what these individuals had ordered. Of course, they were happy about it. They were thrilled.
In the open prison, Max wanders out of a gated area into a garden while texting.
At first, I didn't realize the extent of it, because no one said to me, hey, we've now begun about 4,000 criminal proceedings. Instead, at some point, court orders just started coming in. They said, you were summoned as a witness. Even before my own trial was over, I'd been summoned as a witness.
For every court hearing he attended, a separate form had to be filled out. This is the sixth volume. You can see how much paperwork he produced while in detention.
Words appear. June 2019, witness appointments for customer trial. On a sunny day, Max, who's carrying a holdall, enters a grand brick building. Max greets a guard.
Hello.
You have an appointment?
Yep.
Good.
Max puts the bag down and reads a notice board. A man wearing a shirt and jumper addresses Max.
Hello, Mr. Schmidt. I'm afraid the hearing's already over. You gave a full confession, so we no longer need your testimony.
Right.
It was not foreseeable.
Yeah, as always.
Of course, you've travelled a long way.
Yep.
But you will receive witness compensation.
Super.
If you give me the summons, I can sign it.
I'll need to have a new copy printed out, I'm afraid.
You don't have the summons with you?
Nope, I lost it.
Okay, we can create a new one.
Super. Okay, where do I have to go?
So you're here now, you just walk over here and then turn right.
And who am I looking for?
You'll have to sign in downstairs.
Max rings the reception bell.
Right.
A woman appears at the desk.
You were summoned as a witness for a proceeding?
I can't understand a single word.
You were summoned as a witness for a proceeding?
Yes.
And where's the summons?
I lost it. That's why I need to request a new witness compensation form, please.
Who told you that?
The guy at the entrance over there, by the court.
The guy?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Okay.
Someone in a uniform.
You have to have the form printed out from the corresponding department.
You can't print it here?
No, we can't do that.
So I'm running around because you guys are disorganised?
That's handled by the service department.
Fine.
A woman closes a window blind at the desk.
So annoying. This sucks.
Max ambles down a busy high street. Smiling, he points to a post collection point.
Was that anything to do with my crime? I was called as a witness for hundreds of proceedings. In the end, that meant that I was always travelling. I couldn't receive visitors, couldn't do my laundry, couldn't receive any letters since I was away from my facility. I was completely isolated.
I'm tearing up.
Patrick Klein smirks.
No sympathy.
Nope. One day you'll know why.
Max boards a train. Grinning, Max chats to a passenger.
Saw a TV crew. I quickly Googled him to see what he looks like, and I saw that was his face, yeah. I knew he was coming here anyway because of me.
Yeah.
They couldn't cancel you so late. Yeah, I admitted to everything, that's why. It only lasted half an hour.
Okay. And what did they give you?
3 years probation?
Yeah.
€1,000 fine.
Not too bad.
No, not too bad, actually.
Yeah, they say it was such a long time ago, it won't happen again.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Nice guy.
Right, yeah.
Doesn't cause trouble.
Yeah, they couldn't prove I was selling anyway. It was more of a purchasing cooperative.
Yeah. What quantities are we talking in the trial?
4 kilos of speed, 100 grams of MDMA, cocaine, yeah.
And you got off easy.
I did get off pretty easy. Yep.
The passenger's face is pixelated. A thoughtful expression crosses Max's face.
Purchasing cooperative?
Well, that's why they couldn't... I mean, personal use is what they said, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I was really lucky, yeah. And you're on day release now?
Yeah. I get out next month.
Okay. So it was worth it, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Max shrugs.
Did they find all the bitcoins in the end?
Yeah, I don't know. They say there's more, I say there's no more. It's kind of a standoff.
Okay.
No one really knows what... Yeah, well.
So, this is my stop. I wish you all the best.
Take care. Stay out of trouble.
See ya.
Ricardo Schultz, Senior Public Prosecutor.
That was one of the questions that was asked during the investigations, of course. And afterwards as well. What happened to all the money?
The numbers 15,188.03 bitcoins and 4,169,191.41 euros are highlighted in a police report.
The revenue from the opened wallets amounted to 350,000 euros. At the end of it all, yeah, we admit we couldn't open two wallets. And what's inside them? We don't know.
Dr. Hans.
The fact that many people can't imagine that this money somehow disappeared, but rather that it was hidden somewhere, is very understandable.
A white speedboat floats about on a vast blue ocean in a prison interview room.
They form their own opinion and say, of course, there's something in there. No one can prove it. No one can trace it. If I had access, I could say, here, look, there's nothing in there. And if I had access and there was something in there, I wouldn't necessarily reveal it.
Standing on the speedboat, wearing a sun hat, Max looks out across the sea. Stefan Costabel.
Max isn't rich. No, I don't think so.
While at the helm, Max drums his fingers on the boat's windscreen as it speeds across the water.
So what is stopping you from saying, I don't have a single cent of it?
Yeah, one could say that. Yes, one could say that. Yeah, one could say that. Well, one could put it that way.
Grinning broadly, Max holds the interviewer's gaze.
We only report things that represent the truth.
Yeah.
So, is there any money left?
Well, in that wallet, there's definitely not 1 cent. I know that much.
And do you still have any of it?
I don't think so. All I got from the business was experience and lost time.
Not a cent.
Not a cent.
We'll see what the future brings.
What does that mean?
Well, we are indeed watching him to see if he commits further offences. He's out on probation, after all. There might be opportunities. He might, for example, use his knowledge and the financial means that certainly still exists to commit further offences.
Do you already have suspicions?
I won't comment on that.
So, yes.
Patrick smiles enigmatically and drums his fingers. Large prison gates with rolls of barbed wire on top slide open. Words appear, June 2020, 1 year of freedom. Ascending an escalator, Max admires some glass skyscrapers. On a roof terrace, Max photographs the city skyline.
After my arrest, I spent a total of 4 years and 7 months in prison. There are procedures where they can decide, okay, his behavior has been good, he has good social prospects. Then there's an assessor who says, okay, he seems to be heading in the right direction. We'll give him a chance to get out earlier.
Do you have any plans?
At the moment, I'm working at a car park.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What do you do there?
These are detailed questions. Car stuff? Yeah, well, office stuff at the car park.
Walking through an art exhibition, Max meets a blonde girl. While holding hands, they walk out onto the terrace.
Eaten meat. Not sure what that is.
The pretty blonde girl takes photos of Max posing in front of the imposing Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. They kiss briefly before walking off holding hands.
We're going to the Reichstag.
Max and his girlfriend dine with friends on a rooftop.
At first, Max swiped left on me, but he came back because he thought,
yeah,
oh, she's really cute.
I have
cute.
Premium. I could go back. I could say, oh, shit, yeah, I do like her. I was like, ah, gone. Ah, actually, no.
We went for ice cream, and then we went into a stationery shop because my girlfriend needed stamps to send an important letter. And that was the first time I could shine with my postage knowledge, and I said, for the large format envelope, this small stamp won't be enough.
Right, I thought about that afterwards, like he really knows a lot about this stuff. That was something.
How can that be? How can it be that he didn't say anything about it the whole time?
Well, you don't always have to rush into things, do you? Sooner or later, that kind of thing will come out.
It definitely always comes up in conversation. Who Max is, what he's been through.
It always goes down really well. So, Max, thank you for having such a good story.
My pleasure. Happy to help.
Yeah. But, so, do you have a story that you tell people when they ask you what you do for a living, or do you just say nothing?
Yeah, of course. I work at the car park, so...
Oh, really? That's your story?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Max's friend laughs nervously. A woman in her 20s smiles.
He tends to be about the bush, and he doesn't want to tell very much. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to keep prying. He doesn't have to tell me if he doesn't want to.
How important is it for you to have friends?
Kind of important.
Max's girlfriend turns to him and exclaims.
Wow.
I could give a better answer than that.
Max's smile fades. He lowers his gaze and then looks at his friend.
Do you have a template?
When you're with Max, he always asks you straight away, do you want anything else to drink? Do you want an ice cream? I'll get it for you. What do you want to eat? We'll cook some.
Yeah, it's really nice, yeah. But we still have to teach Max how to ride a bike, so that's still on the list for this summer.
Yeah, I mean, some things you save for later, and this year I'll be learning how to ride a bike. I've never owned a bike, that's why.
Do you worry something could happen again?
No. I mean, he's a sweetheart. I don't think anything will happen again. He'll stay with me.
Max kisses his girlfriend on the cheek. Dr. Hans.
His mother would probably say that too. He's the sweetest person in the world.
Rolf Jakob.
I think he will be extremely careful when considering what risks he takes in the future. In my opinion, he won't be committing a second offence. And the next question, which at this point is of course speculative, will he even need to engage in criminal activity again?
From a bird's eye view, Max turns the speedboat sharply and drives around in a circle. The police evidence room contains archive boxes and a viewing table in the middle. In the police investigation office, an unseen figure views an online news report with a picture of a masked police officer holding a gun.
26th of August, 2020. In a raid conducted by the Leipzig police, large quantities of narcotics and cash have been seized. Four men and one woman aged between 22 and 41 are suspected of drug trafficking. According to the authorities, investigations are still ongoing. They're currently focusing on the examination and evaluation of evidence such as the seized computer technology.
The lights turn off in the empty interview room. Words appear. March 2021. The lights turn on again, and Patrick Klein takes a seat in his office.
Good afternoon. I have some news. I am able to inform you today that Mr. S. is under investigation. He has once again, together with others, begun operating an online shop which sells illegal drugs. The site is operating under a different name, but the overall approach and the design are similar to Shiny Flakes.
Wearing a bomber jacket and jeans, Max sits on a curb and stares ahead fixedly.
Mr. Schmidt knows that he is under investigation and that he is a suspect. I think that the evidence is solid, and I anticipate that the prosecution will issue an indictment.
Yeah.
Bobbing his head in confirmation, Petrick presses his lips together, but a wry smile flickers across his face. Sitting on the curb, the interviewer chats to Max.
You don't want to talk about it at all?
No.
Why not?
Because this has nothing to do with it.
Max fixes the interviewer with a hard stare. In shadow, Max walks along a corridor of an institutional-style building. Gradually walking into the light, Max glances at some of the adjoining rooms as he passes by. With his back to the camera and following the corridor as it deviates to the right and continues on, Max disappears from view. Words appear. The prosecution has yet to conclude its investigation into Maximilian Schmidt. If indicted, innocence is presumed until the conclusion of the trial. Credits appear. AD Posthouse VSI. AD written by Cara Edney and voiced by Sarah Summeray. Written and directed by Eva Muller. Co-director Michael Schmidt. Executive producers Matthias Merman, Philip Kasbora. Director of Photography, Nikolai Mering, BVK. Additional Photography, Josef Strauch. Editors, Jana Hornebach, BFS. Florian Botka, BFS. Additional Editor, Elizabeth Rusbach, BFS. Assistant Editor and VFX Editor, Natalie Bartel. Visual Effects and Graphics Creative Director, Julian Schleff. Music Composer, Ziggy Haz-Ader. Production Designer, Leah Fumi-Schleff. Art Director, Johnny Hausmann. Research and Consulting, Teresa Locker. Creative Consulting, Mathilde Bonifoy. A BTF production, copyright 2021 Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colours.